folks, this is Pastor Butch Paul. This is Financial Survivor, and Financial Survival, I should say. Melody will be joining us in a minute. We're having trouble getting her connected on her system, so bear with us. I'll do my best to fill in while we're waiting on her. And as you know, Melody's with Discount Gold and Silver. You know what she's here for. You know what she's trying to do to help you all the time. And it's an honor to join her every day in this broadcast. It really is. You all hear the news we share, but you also hear the laughter we have. And I thank God every day that we have friends that we can be real with and still cover the news and do it honestly. So I don't have the market reports. I didn't plan on being the only one on for a while. So when Melody can join us, she'll do the market reports and give us an update on gold and silver and other precious metals. So I guess what I can do, maybe start with some news, and when she joins us, we'll let her take it from there. How's that for a deal? And this, I think, is an interesting article. Alan Greenspan said it's only a matter of time before negative rates spread to the U.S. I still haven't got this in my mind how this is supposed to work, by the way. Negative rates. You pay the bank to keep your money. You borrow money and pay back less than what you borrowed. Now, I haven't got all in my head yet how that's going to work. I don't quite get that yet. I guess it does stimulate the economy, but I don't understand why or how it works yet. But I'm going to read this article, at least part of it, to you. You're seeing it pretty much throughout the world. It's only a matter of time before it's more in the United States, Alan Greenspan says. There's currently more than $16 trillion in negative-yielding debt around the world as six central banks try to ease monetary conditions to sustain the global economy. It will not be long... you're seeing it... Oh, I didn't read that to you. Okay, I'm trying to... This repeats itself twice here. The 30-year U.S. rate traded at 1.95 midday Wednesday. It reached an all-time low last week. There are currently more than $16 trillion negative-yielding debt instruments around the world as central banks try to ease monetary conditions to sustain the global economy. The 10-year sovereign bonds in Belgium, Germany, France, and Japan, among others, are trading with a negative rate. Now, folks, if that's what it takes to sustain economy, when you pay money to the banks to have to keep your money, and if that's what it takes to sustain the economy, just how bad a shape is the economy in? Again, I don't quite understand all this, how that's going to make the economy better. I really don't. Maybe cheap money, we can borrow $10,000 a bank and pay back $9,500. How does this work? You get mail doing, I got to find that question or read it, because it's interesting the schemes that these people have to maintain this debt society, if you will, that keep this debt program going, this scheme, this Ponzi scheme going, and have done it for so long worldwide, that it is amazing to me that they can continue to do this and find new ways to sustain it. You have to give them credit for one thing: they are wise in deceitfulness.
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Melody's joining us finally. Melody, I know we're going to do the markets. I'm glad you're here, but I got to ask you. Greenspan said we're going to be on negative rates here in this country soon also. And I'm still getting my head wrapped around the idea. How would negative rates benefit anybody?
Well, it doesn't. It only keeps the system going.
Yes. Okay.
It's a sign of just how desperate. I mean, it hurts anyone who has any type of savings, you know, but it pushes money into the markets, you know, if they're paying, you know. So, you know, it makes people, it's kind of like, to me, I mean, it's a simplified view of it, but to me it's almost like a manner in which to manipulate where money goes, where money flows. And that's, if they want money to go to a certain area, I mean, they do various programs to make it do so. So if you have savings, you can't save, you lose. So what are you going to, and, you know, forget inflation, but I mean, so what are you going to do? You're going to put your money in the stock market. You're going to go to, you know, something that pays a greater yield. You're going
How about
to,
gold
you
and silver?
Increase your investments. So
How about gold
you're
and
right.
Silver?
It's not normal. It's not normal economic policy. It's not normal monetary policy. It's not normal.
It can't work. It's another Ponzi scheme.
It won't.
To maintain this sinking ship. Oh. What you're doing is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, right?
That's all they're doing.
I had to get that question in my head because I'm not a money genius like some people know. But anyway, I want to get that answer in my mind straight now a little bit. Well, thank you, truly are. Obviously, I do. I wouldn't be here with you, but I do trust you. Now, let's go back to market reports because I know that the markets were up quite a bit today, and I like to hear what's going on there.
And, but you know what? It's actually, people don't get it. I mean, sure, our listeners do, and you know, but we always, again, we're back to, you know, hey, as long as our stock markets are high, that's our economy. Everything is good. Everything is grand. But it isn't.
That's not true.
And that's, it's, maybe it was better than it was.
I question that even.
But we have to define what was.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
I agree.
So, I mean, I was reading an article. I think we're going to talk about it today. I think you have it as one of the topics where, you know, the new jobs that everyone's bragging about as far as our employment, the average is $24,000 a year.
That's sad.
And how good is that?
What is it?
You know, we talk about how, you know, we're also going to talk about the best places to live in the world.
Well,
we're not,
you know,
there.
It isn't there. And we have been so deceived. And as I said before, false hope is a thing that makes people keep hanging on. False hope. And Trump gave this nation, a lot of people, a false hope. And now they're starting to see through it finally, I do believe. But a false hope will keep people grasping the straws. They don't want to see the real answer. They won't believe somebody else can fix it. And folks, you're accountable for your own financial system. You're accountable for your own financial status. I know some of y'all are in buying probably financially. A lot of people are. Maybe you got there through no fault of your own. But overall, we must answer to ourselves for our financial situation. If you go in debt because you want more stuff, and you can't pay for it, whose fault's that? Now, if you go in debt because of things you can't help, that's understandable. But to go out and buy something on debt on a credit card because I can have it, is I want it now, and you can't afford to pay for it, Melody, that's not anybody's fault but their own. So people got to face up to that.
You know, I saw a very powerful video this morning. It was, you know, and I'm not a fan of Q. You know, if you can't tell me who you really are, you know, I'm not going to pay much attention to you. You know, don't hide behind blah, blah, blah. You know, that's just how I view things. I mean, I see websites and everything. They're selling you the stars and the moons and the sun to go with it. But if you can't tell me who your name is, adios. So that's how I view Q. But this video was very powerful. And I did follow along, and I agreed with 100% of it. But they were talking about the deep state, and they talked about the good people have finally brought in, and you know, President Trump was recruited in order to, you know, support and bring in and destroy, you know, or at least fight the good fight. But then I started thinking, Butch, and again, my comments is not about President Trump. My comment is, when you view it on the larger page of good versus evil, who's to say? I mean, there was a group, there was a remnant of Christians. We were not easily deceived.
Yes.
We listened, and we did research, and we knew what we've been doing this for how many years? Some much longer than me. I've been doing this 25 years. Some have been doing it for 30, 35, 40 years, longer. What group was the deep state the most fearful of, if we're talking about good and evil?
Yes, that's true.
It's the Christians.
Yes. They used to fear the church.
They had to attack the Christians.
Yes.
They had to destroy that core, and it's been divided.
Yep.
I'm not so sure. Now, this is just coming out of my head as I'm speaking. But if the Christian core has been divided, because we do have, and I'm not talking about the left when I talk pro-Trump and not pro, I'm talking about within this group, it's been weakened.
Yes, it has.
In other ways, but I mean, this. So maybe this is still even part of their plan. And maybe we won't know for years to come. But it's just something to be
a little
more conscious. Now, Butch, I don't know if I sounded like, you know, maybe I needed a nap or something. You know, but did that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. You know, this started long before, this started years ago, and of course in 64, when there were 54 in the Johnson about lost election because of the church. He had the IRS pass a clause, a 501c3 clause, by the way, to give the church a tax break for because the church is the church, and they give donations and charitable, so they didn't give a tax break. But the church people were so ignorant that they didn't realize that the church, according to the U.S. Constitution, of course, Bible too, was tax immune. We don't need tax exemption. We are tax immune. But we let the government trick us into thinking, oh, they're doing us a favor. They're going to give the churches a tax break. And then they line this up to become part of the 501c3 IRS corporation, and that which makes us under the authority of the federal government. And now, folks, this is a fact. Preachers have told me they can't preach on something because they may lose their 501c3 status. I've had them tell me that. So they denied Christ, his word, his authority, and bowed to man. Johnson did that, and it's gotten much worse since then. So that was a huge step, Melody, into quieting the church back in the 50s.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, that was a powerful video I saw this morning, but it just raised more questions. Yes, there are good people out there, don't get me wrong, and there's bad people out there. This is a battle between good versus evil, but what do we do about it? You know, how do we fight? How do we fight back? You know, and that's, you know, tomorrow, you know, I had my conversation with James Corbett, and I mentioned something yesterday about, you know, Hong Kong and then those demonstrators. You know, certainly they're not going to get 100% of what they wanted, but they did get something. And we don't know the final outcome. We don't know if it was a battle or a war, whatever. You know, but temporarily, they did something without a shot being fired and so forth. But how do we can't do anything unless we're actually prepared for things. That's my belief.
Well, you can't do anything until you get up and do something, too. You have to stand up and say and do something. You just can't sit back and hope it'll change. It doesn't work that way.
It's easier to stand up and do something when you're prepared than not prepared.
Absolutely, it is.
So there's a lot of ways that you need to be prepared, So anyway, it was interesting. I don't even know why I brought up that video and so forth. It's just I think it's going to be years before we really know where we're at. We know where we're going, but we don't know
the time schedule.
Yeah, we don't know the time schedule, and there's a lot we don't know. But anyway, what I do know is, let me get back to something that I do know about.
Get back to the markets. Yeah, there you go.
And that's gold and silver. And we had a stinky day in gold. How's that for a commentator, or an analyst of gold and silver? It was a bad day for gold. Had a pullback, $34 at $1,519. And we mentioned this yesterday. We talked about, yes, there's going to be pullbacks, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, come on. It's healthy. It's healthy in a market to have this type of a pullback. And it really wasn't that bad. $1,519. Silver is down it got hit a little bit harder, but that's what you get for silver. When you reach for the yields, what silver can provide, you're going to have a little more volatility. So as quick as it can go up, it can, you know, have this little pullback. So silver was down 94 cents at $1,873. Platinum was down $26 at $963. Palladium actually was up $4 at $1,568. Now, we did have some dollar strength. We're looking at up 0.1 at 98.40. And, of course, that really doesn't, that little bit really doesn't, show direction as to why gold was down so much. Crude oil was down 7 cents at $56.19. And the big question is this just a one day, you know, fluke, so to speak? The paper markets today, they were up big, because I guess there's going to be a trade discussion to begin in October. Here we go again, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's back on. It's off. It's on. It's off. It's on. So it's back on. And the Dow was up 372. It was up over 450 points earlier in the day, so it did come back. It's up 372. The Dow, 26,728. The NASDAQ, 139, back up over 8,116. The S&P was up 38 at 2976. And 10-year yield, 1.56, so that jumped 0.11. And let's see, Japan was up big, over 2%. Everything else was fairly quiet, Butch, overnight. But, you know, I talk about the fear and greed index, and it just goes to show you all these, you know, hey, it's starting to move up. All the fear is gone. Everything is okay. It just amuses me to some degree, Butch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. And it frustrates you somewhat, too, because you wonder, why can people see this? Melanie, if this were a new situation, if this hadn't happened before over generations, I can see that, you know, it may fool us. But how long are we going to be fooled by this false hope that we keep having? How long before people realize we've been lied to? Is it just because the TV says still on, the ball game's coming on, that they don't worry about anything else? Is that the whole idea?
There's one thing that I did see on that video this morning. I'm going to reference that again. It's like people just want to live their lives.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We want to raise families. We want to live our lives. And many people do. So I don't, you know, we say it's because they're watching too much football. And yes, to some degree, yeah. They don't take the interest to learn about their country. You know, they no longer teach history in schools. Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody says anything. Teachers, God bless them. They should be fighting for history.
Yep.
They should be fighting to bring, to have a, but their hands are tied too. You know, you'll lose your job if you don't do or say what they instruct you to say. And, you know, we talk about our economies. We talk about, we're going to talk about the best places to live in the world. And it was all based on the economy, health care, this and that.
Right.
What about our freedoms? What about our liberties? That used to mean something. And it doesn't anymore.
No, if people will face reality, we're much as enslaved in any country in the world, and maybe more so in some areas. And I know people don't agree with that. Well, we can travel where we want to. Now, without permission, you can't. You got to have permission on your car, like insurance and tags. No, without permission, you can't do anything in this country. Not at all.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be heading into a break, and we're going to get on to some news stories when we get back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, I am back. Melody's going again. Phone problems. Whoopee, live radio. You know what I'm saying? This thing just happened. Nothing to do about it. So if you'll bear with me a bit longer, I'll try to cover some news articles while waiting to get Melody back on the air. Now, this article, I think, should be a little bit concerning, knowing that car sales have not been good. Car sales are down. Now, the UAW authorizes union leaders to strike during contract negotiations with GM, Ford, and Fiat. Of course, Fiat and Chrysler are now the same company. You realize that. The United Auto Workers have overwhelmingly authorized union leaders to strike during contract negotiations with GM, Ford, and Fiat this year, a move that would likely throw a massive wrench in the already grinding gears of the auto industry, which is marred in global recession, according to CNBC. On Tuesday, the union announced that roughly 96% of members at each of the automakers supported the action. This number is down from negotiations 4 years ago, when workers at GM and Fiat supported a strike by 97% and 90% respectively. GM is expected to lead the negotiations, which are being called the most contentious in at least a decade due to the industry slowdowns and an ongoing trade war. Negotiations are also expected to be tough due to GM's plans to potentially shutter 4 years facilities in Michigan and in Ohio. At the same time, there's an ongoing and widening federal probe into union corruption that resulted in UAW President Gary Jones' home being searched last week by federal officials. So, this is a tangled web. What a can of worms. Unions, I know my dad was in the mines before unions were developed here, but with the United Mine Workers, and they were all pro-union, and it was needed for a while. Then the pendulum swung the other direction, and the unions become greedy, and the hierarchy become greedy. And the man become greedy too. I'm sorry about that. It's just the way it is. But now we see that the UAW President Gary Jones is being searched for corruption, perhaps. And we see that the men are upset because the GM may be closing down facilities in Michigan and Ohio. And that is a shame. Men who make their living doing anything, I don't care if it's coal mines, auto work, auto industry, railroad, whatever it is. When they shut down facilities, that means people lose their earnings, they lose their money, and a lot of them folks, when it gets bad enough, are going to lose their retirement funds. Because the people working now are paying their retirement fund for those already retired. And the more they cut back, the more that is lost. I don't like it. It doesn't change the fact, though, does it? At all. So, if GM shuts the plants down, and if they can't make a profit, they have no choice. Companies are not in business just to pass the time and have a, you know, just to pass the time of day and work for nothing. Companies are in business to make profits. Profits are what feed the salaries and the retirement funds of the people. And there should be a balance there where profits are allowed as they should be in a reasonable level, but also the shared finance with the people that made the profits for the manufacturers. There should be a balance here. Unfortunately, it never lasts long. It always swings back and forth the other way. Eventually, the pendulum swings the other direction, and greed falls on the other side. So we're seeing something here that should be concerning to us because GM, Ford, and Fiat, which is, again, Chrysler, if they go on a strike and the plants do start shutting down, what could it lead to? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to lead to. I just know that it's not good when you see contention like that in any group of people, any corporation. But again, the balance seems like it never has been quite where it ought to be without a certain amount of greed on one of the other sides or both. Just the way it is. And a sign, and again, a sign of the times, no matter what they say about the economy, these are signs of the times also. A record 89.2 billion in student loans were in default at the end of June. Of the 1.48 trillion left outstanding, 11% or 160 billion were at least 90 days behind in repayment. Now listen to that, folks. Every student loan is either behind or defaulted on. 89.2 billion in the student loans were in default at the end of June. Of the other 1.48 trillion left outstanding, 11% or 160 million were at least 90 days behind. So a huge, huge amount can't pay or behind on payment. Ridiculous amount. It's amazing. Is Melody there? Did I hear somebody there with me?
I am here.
Oh, it's good to have you back. Okay. I want to cover one more quick thing, and then I'm going to get back to you, okay? U.S. agriculture exports to China totaled $24 billion in 2014. Last year, they totaled $9.1 billion, and for the first half of the year, $1.3 billion. Farm bankruptcies are up 13% over the last year. 13 of 100 farms have declared bankruptcy. That is another sad sign of economy. No matter what the reasons are, no matter Trump's tariffs, no matter what the reasons are, farmers that go out of business or bankrupt have a hard time paying or moving on beyond that. And farms, folks, are kind of a backbone of the economy. Wouldn't you agree that food production is important for a nation? We can't feed ourselves already. We haven't for a long, long time. We keep losing farmers. Where's it going to come from? Corporations like Monsanto, overseas. Whoever produces your food becomes really your master. If we can't depend on each other in this nation with small farmers, then we're in deep trouble. Melody, you go ahead. You there, Melody? Did we lose Melody again? Well, I guess I'll go on. We lost Melody again, I suppose. Wow. Okay, let's move on. The U.S., now, folks, listen to this, because I'm not making this up. These are facts. We have to face them. There's no point in walking around in a Pollyanna world and looking at the rose-colored glasses when all it's going to do is lead us further down the road to destruction. The U.S. ranked only 47th out of 64 countries as the best place to live in the world for the second consecutive year. As Melody said, this is all about finances, not freedom. If we rank by freedom, I'm afraid we didn't fall further than that. That's according to the major benchmark Expat Insider 2019 report, which surveyed 20,259 expats representing 182 nationalities and living in 187 countries or territories. An expat is defined as an employee sent abroad on a corporate assignment or classed as a new international hire. The survey ran from 7 to 28 March. Respondents were asked to score 48 different factors, which fall into 17 subcategories related to living abroad. Those 17 subcategories are then put into five pillars: quality of life, ease of settling in, working abroad, family life, and personal finance. For a place to be ranked, there needs to be a sample size of at least 75 survey participants per destination. The only exception to this rule is a family life index, where a sample size of at least 40 respondents raising children abroad is necessary. For the 2019, 64 destinations respectively met these requirements, although many countries or territories the sample size exceeded 75 or 100 participants. While 57% of respondents rate the quality of medical care positively versus the global average of 65, 71% think it's unaffordable. It isn't affordable, folks. And 45% points above 20. So what we're saying is we are not number one. God help us on health care or any other type of, we'll say, pillars of this situation. We're not number one. And I don't make anybody feel bad. Please, I'm not. I love America. I was born in the hills of West Virginia. I grew up saluting the flag and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I did. My dad was a wounded prisoner of war in World War II. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran myself. I didn't shame the uniform. I come out as an E-4 sergeant of the Air Force, so please understand that I'm not saying this to disgrace anybody. I'm saying because it affects me also. I live here. This is the country I was born in. And if I can do something to help it, I would love to do that. But I can't lie about the truth, what's happening. To do that makes me less of a man, certainly less of a Christian. Mel, are you back with us yet?
I am. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Come on in.
I had to do one of those cell phone commercials. Can you hear me now?
You're having a good time today, aren't you?
Yeah, you were doing such a great job. I wasn't so sure I was going to join you.
Well, you go ahead and say what you want to say, too.
No, I don't. I would, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, I might run out if I'm doing it all by myself. I always trust you to bring some of it up. But now, companies in the U.S. blame trade war for 10,488 layoffs in August. August marked the eighth consecutive month this year in which job cuts were higher than in the same month in 2018, the report said. The pace of downsizing in American companies surged this last month, with more than 10,000 job cuts blamed on trade difficulties alone, according to figures released Thursday. Employers also announced that the most layoffs of any August since 2009. Listen to this, folks. Employers also announced the most layoffs of any August since 2009. Remember 2008? Remember that correction in 2008? The outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas said job cuts rose 38% over July, with 53,408 positions to be sliced from their employer payrolls, led by workforce reductions in health care, which has been a mainstay of recent job creation, the tech sector, and manufacturing. Melody, if it's worse since 2009, we're going back 10 years. And 2008 was a rough year, was it not?
Yes, it was, for many people.
And it's the same thing now, but why is it not being covered that way? Why doesn't anybody talk about that?
Their little bubble.
I mean, the news isn't saying anything about it. I didn't see it on the news, did you?
No, they're too busy worrying about President Trump.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I mean, it is, of course, now Trump fudged on that map, you know, on the map of Hurricane Dorian. You know, he took a magic marker and marked that. You know that, right? So that's a big deal. We can't have that. You know, we can't have that. You know, I mean, we have presidents who lie and cheat and steal and whatever, but we can't have them fudge on a map like that.
I know.
Oh, it's so insane.
I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, who are these children?
Yeah, you know, if there were children, I'd take my side and smack their hind ends.
But you know, there was also an article today that out of Breitbart, and the initial headline was about the California wage growth has only grown like about 1% in the last 40 years.
Yes.
And they talk about, the article talks about a servant class that serves the needs of the country's top 1%. That is one of the fastest growing job markets in the United States. And you know, you have these, and this is one of the reasons why they open these borders and so forth. But you have about 1.5 million mostly low-skilled legal immigrants that are admitted to the U.S. every year to take primarily low-wage jobs, and it's basically an underclass of servants for the wealthy. And it has boomed over the last decade compared with overall job growth. And research by MIT's David Otter reveals that the servant class jobs like manicurists and pedicurists have grown 114% between 2008 and 2018. Meanwhile, all U.S. jobs have grown just 7% in that same period. So, I don't know, it just kind of shows you can't make a living, although some do make a good living doing that, but it doesn't provide health care. It doesn't provide, you know, the jobs that we used to have in this nation anymore. And here it just seems, we talk about income equality, we talk about wage growth, how little there is. And it's, you know, here's just another sign. It's just something else to, you know,
and
bring,
you know,
the attention to.
Folks, this is not speaking disrespectfully, people that do those occupations. That's
not
great.
At all.
Not at all.
I used to do those jobs.
Well, there's not a thing wrong with that, but the point of it is we're seeing lower paying jobs and jobs, as you say, without health care and other benefits that normally we would have somewhere else that these people could work and produce even better for themselves. So it's not a derogatory remark at all. Just a sign of the times. You know, McDonald's and Wendy's
exactly.
are all, they're hiring all the time. Tudor's is hiring all the time. I mean, they're hiring people to flip hamburgers, which is fine. I'm not mocking that at all. But if that's the best economy we have, we're not doing too well.
No, not when the average new job pays $24,000.
$24,000 a year is not a lot of money at all to live on. Not even
below poverty.
It is below poverty.
It's poverty. Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's below poverty, but it's in the poverty
level. I think it is. But I mean, you know, I there was a time when I was growing up that $1,000 a month was good money. But that's been a long time ago, Mel. The inflation eat that up. $24,000. If you get a power bill and a phone bill and a car payment, a house payment, and groceries, and two or three children to feed, that's soon going. $2,000 a month doesn't go very far.
I can remember making $24,000 back in the early 80s, late 70s. That was big bucks.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was big bucks. Now it's poverty.
So,
that's inflation. That's what they've done to you.
Yeah. Thanks to fiat currency.
Yeah.
You know, and it's getting worse every day. I don't care what anybody says. You make $24,000 a day. If you made it back in 1970, that a year, I mean, today, I should say, in 1970, that'd been big money. Today, it's spread your living wages.
Yeah.
So that's called a fiat currency, folks. Welcome to America, Inc. So, anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Okay, I'm going to move on over then.
Okay.
Peter Schiff, I read some of Peter Schiff, and some of these things I think are pretty good, and some things I don't know, but this I thought was interesting because I believe it's the truth. This is the weakest manufacturing economy since the Great Recession. This is Peter Schiff, folks. The Institute for Supply and Management said early in the day that its index on national factory activity dropped to 49.1, compared with the reading of 51.1 estimated by analyst poll by Reuters. If anyone in the U.S. manufacturing data signals that the new tariffs couldn't come at a worse time, it's bad news on top of bad news. That's why investors are so focused on the negotiations, said Alec Young, Managing Director of Global Markets Research at FTSE Russell, based in New York. This is the weakest manufacturing economy we had in 10 years, basically since the tail end of the Great Recession. So for all the talk from Donald Trump about how great this economy is, how is it the greatest economy ever? It's the weakest manufacturing economy since the Great Recession. It's weaker than it was pretty much at any point during the Obama presidency. And according to Trump, Obama was a disaster for the economy. He was a disaster for manufacturing. Well, maybe he was right, but Trump has proved to be an even bigger disaster than Obama. Now, that's pretty straightforward. But the sad part is I can't argue with him. I can't say any different. The numbers show that to be true. So, Melio, I mean, how do you can't defend Trump whenever the numbers show that he's done no better and maybe somewhat worse.
Well, I mean, we have placed so much on the economy. This isn't a country anymore. It's an economy. And so the numbers, in order to fuel the Ponzi scheme, that's why it says it doesn't really matter who's in office anymore. To fuel the Ponzi scheme, to fuel this con job that they have created, the illusion that they have created.
Breakdown.
Alrighty, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I want to thank you for your patience today. I am having some true technical issues. It seems like my internet is bringing in, whether it be Skype or how I connect to our producer, and I'm not quite sure if it's because of the Hurricane Dorian that is coming up the coast. It's supposed to be, at least I'm supposed to have effects of that tomorrow, but we'll see. They continue to change the report, so my apologies on that, and I want to thank Butch for just taking off on the program, and I'm going to let you continue to take over, and if I get the move to say something, I will.
Okay, well, please do.
It's just really hard to do this by phone, so go ahead.
All right. Well, this is kind of a sorry time because the largest economic bloc in Europe, of course, has been Germany for a long time. Germany has been the backbone and support, actually, for the euro for a long time. Germany has been used to bail out many people, many European Union members, because their economy has been so strong, but things are changing. Because it's a fiat currency. All nations with fiat currencies will have economic problems and financial disasters await all nations with fiat currency. All nations with fiat currency are doomed to fail financially. Take that to the bank, count on it, write it down in the back of your book. It's going to happen. Fiat currency will collapse. You'll be changed maybe for another fiat currency, but fiat currencies will never last. The dollar is also part of this. But this is in Berlin. Weaker demand from abroad drove a bigger-than-expected drop in German industrial orders in July, suggesting that struggling manufacturers could tip Europe's biggest economy into recession in the third quarter. Did you hear that? Europe's biggest economy could drop into recession this quarter. Germany's export-reliant economy is suffering from slower global growth and business uncertainty. Called the U.S. President Donald Trump's, here we go again, called the U.S. President Donald Trump's America First trade policies and Britain's plan but delayed exit from the European Union. And folks, by the way, the plan for Brexit doesn't look too promising right now. It's been a fight for sure. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, at least not in the next month. But, you know, Trump's American First policy, hey, listen, I'm all for America First. I am. If we could take care of ourselves, manufacture our own products, to feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, do what we had to do to actually support ourselves as a nation, I'm all for that. I don't want to hurt any other nation. But, you know, you take care, you clean up your own backyard before you tell your neighbor how to clean theirs up. If we could do that, then we could become an exporter again of goods. We could become prosperous internally and help nations externally with our goods. But Germany is hurting right now. It's the largest economy in Europe, or at least it was. And with Brexit not happening, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It's interesting to see this because, you see, we are not waiting for a world economy. We have a world economy. What affects us affects others, and what affects others will affect us. This is no longer the American dollar is our main thrust of trade, not anymore. It isn't. We've sold that out already, folks, a long time ago. So whatever happens in Germany will spread around the world eventually to all nations. When nations around us fall, when Venezuela, Zimbabwe, and other nations crumble, it affects all of us eventually. It has to. We're all in the same boat now, so to speak. Now, back to a different topic, and I think this is interesting too. This is I'm laughing about this because it really seems strange. But you know, we know Bush bought up thousands of acres in South America for his refuge, I guess you could say. We know Trump's looking to buy land in Argentina and places. And we're seeing these things happening all over the world. But now the U.S. offers an Iranian tanker captain means to hand over the ship. Wow. The United States offered millions of dollars to the captain of an Iranian oil tanker currently at the center of a diplomatic spat, according to the Financial Times, and confirmed to AFP by the U.S. State Department. U.S. Special Representative to Iran, Brian Hook, emailed the captain of the Adrian Dora, Dara 1, about selling the vessel to a country willing to impound it on behalf of the Trump administration. "I'm writing with good news," reads email from Hook to Captain Achilles Kuma, after which Hook offered to pay millions of dollars if he were to turn over the ship. Kuma did not respond. Wow. We're going to pay him to give it up. I guess it's better than shooting at him. But my, I'm still trying to have sink in that we could actually think that, well, I guess when you have got what you wanted for so many years, you think money's going to buy everything, I suppose. But they might be surprised in this one. I don't want to sell this. And of course, you know, last night was another debate. The Dems had a debate, and I didn't watch it. Don't want to watch it. Can't stomach it. Couldn't care less what they say. I'm not going to support any of them anyway, so I don't care. But Bernie Sanders floats control at CNN Climate Town Hall. Bernie Sanders, of course, from Vermont, told CNN's Climate Change Town Hall attendees on Wednesday night that he's willing to talk about population control, suggesting that abortion is key to addressing the climate crisis. Now, folks, please let that sink in. He said that killing our unborn babies is the key to save the world, to save the climate. What a bunch of human crap. Human population growth has more than doubled in the last 50 years, an attendee told Sanders, adding that the planet cannot sustain such growth. "I realize this is a poisonous topic for politicians, but it's crucial to face. Empowering women and educating everyone on the need to curb population growth seemed a reasonable campaign to enact. Would you be courageous enough to discuss this issue and make it a key feature of a plan to address climate catastrophe?" The answer is yes, Sanders said, arguing that population control in the form of abortion and birth control specifically is something he very, very strongly supports. "The answer has everything to do with the fact that women in the United States of America, by the way, have a right to control their own bodies and make reproductive decisions," Sanders said. Did you hear what I said? I mean, they're willing to slaughter millions or more children. Millions more. I've already slaughtered near 100 million. That's a fact. People say, well, 70. No, it's closer to me than 100 million. And we're still going to do more? Go ahead.
This morning I watched a brief interview with the Mayor Pete, and they were talking about, you know, he was talking about, you know, his Christian beliefs, and he was talking about we're just going to stick up to the children. We're going to talk about the children. He was talking about how we're saving, you know, how we're hurting the children on the border and everything like that. And they were quoting scriptures from the Bible as far as what happens if you harm the children and so forth. And I'm just really sitting there thinking to myself, how can you sit there and talk about what's happening on the border with the children, and yet you're willing to kill millions and millions of babies? I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
That's hypocrisy to the nth degree.
Yes.
It is. It truly is. Truly is. You know, and an answer now, this you may have seen this, I don't know, but you know, the climate change, it's a hoax. It's totally a hoax. It's proven, and I have an article right here in front of me right now that can totally prove it. If people want to see it, send a copy of it. It's United. It's a report that's brought out so precisely and clearly. I can't read it all, but here are five facts about the Earth's climate that people are not willing to look at. Climate has always changed. Always. Throughout history, it has always changed from hot to cold and in between. Temperature increase in the past was not caused by humans. It's been up and down over the last 2,000 years, folks. At least twice it's rose above what it is right now. The Arctic and Antarctic are doing better than ever before. Well, you don't hear that, do you? Polar bears and other species are not dying, but flourishing. This is all a fact. Carbon dioxide is not a temperature control knob, and it is not, folks. Please let this sink in a second. Carbon dioxide. Plants breathe carbon dioxide so that we can breathe oxygen. If they didn't breathe carbon dioxide, we would not have oxygen. And carbon dioxide does not go into the atmosphere. It stays Earth. It's Earth, an Earth-bound gas. It doesn't go into space. It doesn't eat holes in ozone. Nothing like that. Because it's an Earth-bound gas. Our God made it that way so the trees and plant life could breathe it and produce oxygen for us to breathe. So every time we hear these lies, you need to go to science and look. Don't take their word for it. Look it up for yourself. Carbon dioxide is not made. It's a set level for it. It can't be any more than it already has. It cannot be made any more than it already exists. It's a lie. And temperatures have not increased as called the humans. The Arctic and Antarctic is growing like never before. And the bears and polar bears and other things are booming. But who knows that? And really, probably who cares? I'm telling you the truth because I care, but Bernie Sanders is going to run for office saying that we have to kill more babies. But listen to this one. Go ahead, Mel. You want to say something?
And he wants to spend $10 trillion.
Oh, yeah, I know. Absolutely. Yes. Now, this is the second time I've seen a different article. This, the first one I saw was in Newsweek. This was in a Swedish scientist suggests something on a program there. It says, Swedish behavior scientists suggest eating humans to save the planet. Now, folks, I'm not making this up. This is all for real. A Swedish behavioral scientist has suggested that it may be necessary to turn to cannibalism to start eating humans in order to save the planet. Appearing on Swedish television to talk about an event based around the food of the future, Magnus Söderlund said he would be holding seminars on the necessity of consuming human flesh in order to stop climate change. Are you hearing this? Environmentalists blame the meat and farming industry for a large part of what they claim is a warming of the earth. According to Söderlund, a potential fix would be the soylent green solution of eating dead bodies instead. Now, folks, this is all real. They're discussing it. Once it starts being discussed, they soon start accepting it. And he's going around the country in seminars saying we can eat people. He told the host of the show that one of the biggest obstacles to the proposal will be the taboo nature of corpses and the fact that many will be seen as defiling the deceased. Söderlund also acknowledged that the people are slightly conservative, when it comes to eating things they are not accustomed to, such as cadavers. The discussion took place accompanied by a graphic of human hands on the end of forks. Another proposal to save the earth, which had been promoted by numerous mass media outlets, environmentalists, is only somewhat less disgusting, is eating bugs. Now, no doubt Greta Thunberg and Prince Harry will be the first in line for when the cockroaches and human flesh is being dished out at the next International Climate Summit. But folks, this is all for real news. How does this affect us financially? You figure that out. If you can't see the demise of a nation in every way possible, including financially, because the morals being taken to nothing, then we're wasting time talking to you. This is the world today. This is what we see happening in the world today. We don't just murder 100,000 or 100 million babies. We're going to start eating them. And Papa and Mamba will get too old. We're going to go ahead and cook them up and eat them too. Why would you do that? Save the earth. We laugh at that. We scoff at that. And it can't happen. So we thought the same thing about murdering babies. We thought the same thing about homosexuality. It's never going to happen in America. Now we have transgenders teaching children in the library how to do that, how to twerk. Can't happen in America. Honey, it's already happening around the world. And I don't want to even say beyond that. Now, the Trump administration wants to use social credit score system to determine who can buy a gun. Now, this is all fact. The proposal is part of an initiative to create a Health Advanced Research Projects Agency, HARPA, which will be located inside the Health and Human Service Department, reports the Daily Caller. The new agency would have a separate budget, and the president would be responsible for appointing its director. HARPA would employ breakthrough technologies with high specificity and sensitivity for early diagnosis of neuropsychiatric violence, including Apple Watches, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. Oh, folks, this is real. I mean, even with Amazon, Google, and all them booked up, they'll do a social credit score to see whether you get to have a gun or not. Yeah, this is America. Now do you know how Melody begs you every day to prepare yourself? Folks, I'm telling you because I love you. I truly, truly do in Christ. I do care. Gold and silver is a hedge against and some protection against what's coming in this country. It truly is. This is storable food, a water filter, brick water filter. We offer those to ministry. We have those available to you in our ministry. All this is a hedge, a wall to protect what you can possibly protect when things get worse and worse and worse. I mean, where are you going to run to? Where are you going to hide? There's not many places you can go. But if you call Melody Cedarstrom and think ahead enough in the future to do just a little bit every month, you'd be surprised what I add up to real soon. Call her at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And folks, I'll get off here now. I don't think Melody's still there, but we did our best for her. Hope we did a good job. We'll see you then next week. Have a great weekend. Melody, see you tomorrow.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.